Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we continue our sermon series on stories associated with Jesus, antidotes and anecdotes. Today we look at one of the miracles of Jesus. Join us now for the message, Do You Want to Be Made Well? Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer and I'm the senior pastor.
I'm Wesley McCall and I'm the music director.
And we welcome you to worship with us here today on this wonderful Independence Day morning. And now let us enter into a spirit of calm and worship and prayer with this centering psalm.
From Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Now for our opening prayer. In you, gracious God, the widowed find a partner, the orphaned find a parent, the fearful find a friend. In you, Christ Jesus, the wounded find a healer, the penitent find a pardoner, and the burdened find a counselor. In you, Holy Spirit, we meet our maker and our match. And if some need to say, help me, and if some need to say, save me, and if some need to say, hold me, and if some need to say, forgive me, then let these be said now in confidence by us. O God, in whose heart is both welcome and warning, say to us, do to us, and reveal within us the things that will make us whole. And we will wait, and we will praise you. Amen.
And now, even though we cannot be together in the same space, we are together in the same time, so my prayer for you is peace be with you.
And now our prayer for illumination. Holy God, author of the Word made flesh, open us to your Holy Spirit, that as Scripture is spoken and your Word proclaimed, we may be comforted, convinced, and changed to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We have two gospel readings this morning. The first comes from Mark chapter 6. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and cured him. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And our second gospel reading comes from John chapter 5. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the stirring of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well from whatever disease that person had. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you wish to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. The word of God for the people of God.
Years ago in another church, I knew a woman who had suffered from migraine headaches since childhood. And these weren't just bad headaches. These were like jackhammer to the head, I think I've been shot, please kill me now headaches. They were totally debilitating, and if that wasn't bad enough, they also made her viciously nauseous. Well, the only thing to do was to take whatever medication she was currently being prescribed and to go to bed in a dark room. One of these headaches could leave her totally incapacitated for any amount of time from 24 hours to several days, and she would get these headaches up to once a month. Over the years, the doctors had prescribed different kinds of medications to either try to prevent the headaches or at least mitigate the suffering. Some of these prescriptions worked to a degree, but they never really solved the problem. So regular migraines just became a part of the reality of her life. When she entered her 40s, however, what had been, say, once a month occurrences became more and more frequent. Now, her primary physician referred her to a neurologist, and the neurologist suggested several things, but he had no more success than the primary physician. So that neurologist then recommended another neurologist in the next town over, and this neurologist specialized in migraine headaches. If anyone could help her, this guy would be able to help her. Yet despite the fact that these migraines were starting to take over her life, she never made an appointment with this migraine specialist. Years passed, the headaches got so bad that she was literally spending half of her life in bed. And spending so much time in bed was beginning to have repercussions in both her professional and her personal life. And eventually she lost both her career and her marriage, and yet she never called the migraine specialist. Well, why not? Why would someone lay in bed and suffer when there was a possible solution? And we look at someone like that and we think, if it were me, if I were in that much pain, I would go to any doctor, I would take any kind of medication, I would follow any practice just to get some degree of relief or release. But you see, the truth is that all of us, from time to time, all of us choose to be in places and to be stuck in behavior patterns that cause us needless pain. For this woman, no doubt her migraines originally stemmed from a genuine medical problem, but as her life got more complicated and she took on more responsibilities, the migraines increased, giving her an excuse to stay in bed and not have to face some of the tough realities in her life. Now, she didn't do this on purpose. This was happening all subconsciously, but she refused to acknowledge the link between her stress level and the increasing number of headaches and migraines that she was having. She never called the migraine specialist because a subconscious part of her did not want the migraines to stop. A part of her did not want to be made well. The migraines really let her off the hook from taking responsibility for her life, but as a result, she lost almost everything. When Jesus came across that paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda there in Jerusalem, he asked the man, "Do you want to be made well?" And this has always struck me as such an odd question. He had sat beside the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Of course he wanted to be made well, didn't he? Well, instead of a yes or no answer to Jesus' question, the man replies that he has no one to help him get into the water. You see, it was believed that from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and would disturb the water, and whoever got in the water first, his or her affliction would be cured. Well, evidently, this man was not quick enough by himself to make it to the water in time. So Jesus then turns to the man and says, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And immediately the man was healed. He gathered up his mat and he began to walk about. I've always been very intrigued by this question. Do you want to be made well? All of us want to be healed. We want to be made well of whatever afflictions that we carry, but oftentimes there is a part of us, and maybe a part of us that we're not even aware of, that does not want to be made well. This little part of us actually desires the exact opposite. Now, the implications of healing actually can be very threatening, perhaps too threatening for us. It may require us to finally take responsibility for our lives and our situations. It may require of us effort that is potentially tiring or even exhausting. It can propel us into unknown territory where we're unsure of what to do next. It can make us no longer know where we're even going. It can even threaten our very sense of identity. While the current situation may be undesirable, at least it's predictable. And because it's predictable, it can offer us at least some degree of comfort, maybe even some degree of control. And we often then develop the kind of inertia about our lives that makes it difficult to change. And this may lead someone to ask us, do we really want to be made well? Because you see, there can be a payoff to being sick or wounded and to remain being sick or wounded. For example, we may sometimes wonder why a person might stay in an abusive relationship, when in reality, there can be any number of reasons. Maybe this person is not confident enough that they can take care of themselves or support themselves financially, particularly if there are children involved. Maybe they believe that the abuser is the only person who will ever love them. Maybe they think it's their fault. Maybe they know it's not their fault, and yet they're just too ashamed or embarrassed to be able to admit that the situation has gotten just that much out of control. So in short, the remedy to the situation scares or threatens them more than the abuse themselves. Or at least the remedy can seem so daunting that they feel like that they just don't have the energy. But going back to our Bible study, to be frank, I find it hard to believe that after 38 years of waiting, that the paralyzed man had never, in that whole 38 years, had never been able to be the first one in the water. What I suspect happened is that after a while, he just gave up. Now, maybe he was, maybe if he were there and he got healed, maybe that might mean he had to take a level of responsibility for his life that he was just not prepared for. But here's the thing. Jesus wanted to heal that man, and Jesus wants to heal us. But we have to want to be healed. We have to have the faith to be freed for a future that may seem scary or at least very uncertain. We have to have the faith to let down the barriers and the defenses that keep us sick. So in short, we have free will. Just as God will not force us to be in a relationship with God, neither will Jesus force healing upon us. Our own willingness and our own faith are essential. We can see this in that first story that Wesley read from the Gospel of Mark. Now, this story takes place after Jesus has left his hometown of Nazareth and has moved to Capernaum, where he started his public ministry. And so one day he decides to visit Nazareth, his hometown, where his family still lives. And on the Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue, and there he's invited to speak to the congregation. And the text says that the people there were astonished at him, and among themselves they talked, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and not are his sisters here still among us?" If we've known someone all our lives, it can be very difficult to see them in any kind of new light. And I think this is certainly true of Jesus and the citizens of Nazareth. You see, they watched him grow up. They knew his family, and his mother, brothers, and sisters are still living there among them. Before moving to Capernaum, he had worked there as a builder. Now, the Greek word here that's used is the word tekton. It's actually the same word that we get technology from. And this word tekton has traditionally been translated as a carpenter, but actually tekton refers to anyone who works with his hands, whether it's wood or metal or stone. But now yet Jesus, this homeboy tekton, he returns with a message unlike anything they've heard before and with a reputation for performing mighty deeds. And many of his former neighbors may have gotten to the point where, as the saying goes, they thought Jesus had gotten too big for his britches. Or perhaps, as the other saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. You see, the people of Nazareth thought that Jesus was having dangerous delusions of grandeur. In fact, earlier in the Gospel of Mark, it says that his family had gone to Capernaum to try to get Jesus to force him to come back home to Nazareth. When they heard, however, that he had returned to Capernaum, Jesus said that his family went out to restrain him, for the people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." That may be one reason the people of Nazareth were so put out with Jesus. They felt that he was distressing or even dishonoring his family. Because Joseph is not mentioned here, most scholars believe that Joseph had probably died many years earlier. So therefore, as the eldest son, it would have been Jesus's responsibility to take leadership for his family, to take care of his family. And instead, he had moved off to Capernaum and started some sort of weird religious sect. Exasperated at his reception, Jesus paraphrases a popular saying, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And then the text says something that I find truly amazing. "And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them, and he was amazed at their unbelief." This is the only place in all the Gospels that says that Jesus was unable to do something. When we think of Jesus, we never envision that he may be unable to perform a miracle. But I suspect that this may have happened frequently. It just didn't get reported in the Gospels because no one's going to remember when the miracle didn't happen. It's only the stories of miracles and healing successfully performed that are going to be remembered and then handed down and then later written down. But perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised in light of the story of the paralyzed man by the pool in Bethesda. It seems that Jesus can only heal when we want to be healed and are willing to step out in an act of faith. Several times in the Gospels, after Jesus has healed someone, he says to them, "Your faith has made you well." Their healing came about because of their willingness to accept healing and their faith in Jesus, that through him it would be possible. So imagine now that you're the man that is laying there in the pool in Bethesda. Now, this man was paralyzed, but ask yourself, what afflicts you? What what in life has wounded you? Are there toxic situations that you need to get yourself out of? Are there unrealistic expectations of yourself or others that you need to let go of? Are there others that you need to find some way to forgive them? Do you need to find a way to forgive yourself? And so now then, what is preventing you from being healed? What is preventable? Diseases can be cured, and sometimes they can't. I don't want anyone to get the impression that what I am saying is that if you just had more faith, God would heal you of cancer, or that if you don't experience some kind of miraculous cure, it's because you didn't have enough faith. Or even worse, that somehow God is punishing you for your lack of faith by some sort of illness or injury. Serious disease and infirmity are hard enough without other people laying a guilt trip on you or disparaging your faith. Because the truth is, no one gets out of this world alive. And eventually, sooner or later, for each one of us, there is going to be an illness or an injury from which there is no recovery, for which there can be no cure. But even if there is no cure, healing is still possible. Despite whatever physical malady afflicts us, whether or not we ever find a cure, Jesus can always heal us. That is, Jesus can make us whole. Jesus can make whole our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our souls. In the end, Jesus can bring us peace. On his last night with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Jesus is ready to give you peace. Jesus is ready to heal you. Jesus is ready to make you whole. Only one question remains. Do you want to be made well? Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, please join with me in the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you that you can always find a recording of our service on our Facebook page or on our website, tumcd.org, or through our church podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. And if you want any information about our church or would like to contact me, feel free to send a message through Facebook. And so your action item for this week is to think about and ask yourself, do you want to be made well? And what would need to change in my heart for that to happen? And so we welcome you back next week as we continue stories of Jesus, and now receive this benediction. May we all experience the healing touch of Jesus, and may we be bearers of that healing touch to others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love your neighbor and go in peace. We hope you enjoyed and were blessed by today's service. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. We will continue our sermon series on the stories of Jesus. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service. You'll find that on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.